Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that addition to rappers are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content and unit deals. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We're
back up,
we brought up,
is
we represent. All them chillers on the mic and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS of life, dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. We the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
live
forever, bitch, we coming
in
a strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 673. This one has been in the making since the beginning because, man, I've wanted to interview this cat since before I even became a journalist in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? I always thought he was one of the dopest rappers. You know what I'm saying? And I never really heard much from him other than being on one project. That one project that I heard, man, was 2 Live Crew album, Back at Jazz for the 9-4. That, to me, was a very underrated 2 Live album. I thought with the absence of Brother Marquis, Verb really, did his thing, man, and helped give 2 Live along with Chris a whole new feel, a whole new vibe at that time, man. Did a real good job. So we're going to chop it up with Verb tonight, you know what I'm saying, and see what's going on because he's got some new music and he's back. Let me bring him on right now. Verb, how you doing,
brother? What's good? What's good? What's
good? Man, welcome to the Murder Master Music Show, first and foremost. Man, this is a long time in the making. Before we get into your history and stuff, I want to ask you this question, man. Where have you been for the last quarter century? We've been missing you, brother.
I mean, you already know, man. It's just the politics of the game, man. I've been around, you know. But I mean, you know, for one, I mean, it's just the politics of the game that most artists go through, as far as you know, signing, you know, paperwork and having a difference of opinions with companies and things of that sort. So you know, when you have to fight different battles and you don't see eye to eye as far as creativity and things of that nature, then you have to sit for a while, you know? So yeah. That's what's up, you know?
You got to sit and wait for your return and when it's time. What makes 2020 right. The time of all these years?
I mean, well, it's just been a constant ongoing thing. I mean, I always, you know, been into music, but you know, of course, the company that I came in with, as you know, went into bankruptcy. So once the company went into bankruptcy, then it's like you stuck because you know other people got say on whether they want to pick up your contract or not. And so you know, we had a situation with that, and then after that, you know, I signed with somebody that, you know, it just didn't work out. You know, I won't say, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, you know, but we just didn't see eye to eye as far as where we should go. And then in between that, you know, it's a couple of, you know, when Pac came out with Death Row, you know, and that whole era, everybody who had a bag, they wanted to become a CEO, and they just didn't have, you know, all the hustlers, and they, yo, what you doing, man? I'm doing whoop, whoop, whoop. And, you know, 2-3 months later, they going to federal penitentiary. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you do. You know, a lot of situations like that, you know? So 2020, I mean, actually, I just getting independent, learning about behind the scenes how to make a record instead of writing a record. I wanted to learn, you know, how to make a record, how to do Pro Tools, you know, how to be self-sufficient as far as making tracks and beats and snares and learning different softwares and different drum machines so you can create the record so I could be self-sufficient. So it's like I kind of like took myself to school and, you know, soaked that game up with the knowledge that I already knew about being in the studio and telling cats what to do. And, you know, it's like I was already producing, you know. So that's what I've been doing, you know, just soaking the game.
You already had the knowledge, you know what I'm saying?
I already had the knowledge, and then I'll be looking at these dudes on these different machines. And, you know, so something hit me like, understand why you was in these contracts and you couldn't move. Understand why when your paper went right, you couldn't do what you needed to do to get these machines and make what you got in your head. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, as the years passed, it became easier to get in the studio. Like when I was young, coming up in the game, you couldn't get in the studio less than $250 just to get your reel. You know what I'm saying? And then looking at studio time on top of that and paying the engineer, like it could get crazy. Like to make 4 or 5 songs, it could easily run you up into the thousands. You know what I mean? So that's
way
the game,
different,
you know,
than what it is today. Today, anybody with a mic and a SoundCloud page could drop a hit instantly. You know,
right? So you know, right. So it kind of even it out. It's like a lot of stuff came through that wouldn't have never came through back in the days, but then it evens up the field. So you know, somebody who paper ain't, you know, as strong as it need to be, you get a shot too. You know. So that's what's up.
Most definitely. Before we get into your history, man, one of our friends, man, mutual friends, has passed away. I'm talking about the legendary Fresh Kid Ice. He was huge on the show many times over the years, even kind of co-hosted a couple episodes with us. Man, can you speak on some fond memories of Chris and what it was like knowing him?
I mean, Chris was the, you know, he was the heart behind the Mantra 2 Jam. You know what I'm saying? Like as far as putting everything together, he was the general. You know what I'm saying? Like even before the group became notorious with Luke Records, I mean, you know, he was doing his thing with the group. He was the founder of the group, you know, then when they was out in L.A. So nothing changed. I mean, I was doing some spot dates with Disco Rick and just rocking out on some shows, and he was checking me out and seeing how I vibe, and he just came to me and asked me, yo, man, you gonna put the group back together? So I was like, that's great. So he was like, who's interested in putting you in it? And I was like, whoa. So we went and talked. We, you know, it was like we already had a history because we went on a road prior, because when he put his solo album out, I think it was called The Chinaman. Yeah. And we got to know each other on tour. That's when he got to see me. And so when he was like interested in putting the group back, he was like, okay, we're gonna fuck with you, see what you want to do. So, but I mean, just the memories of him, man, making those records, and had nothing, like, he already had everything. Like, what I remember about him is him being so precise and having the album already sketched out in his head and everything so organized. You know what I'm saying? Like, this the name of the song. This how many joints we going to do. You know, this what we going to talk about. This how many verses. You going to go first. I'm going to go first, second on this one. You going to have this emotion. Like, that was all Chris. you know. So I just basically, you know, I was just a student of the game, soaking it up, you know, even down to like the performance. He taught me like how to walk in rows and stay in your aisles and different stuff, man. Like I learned a lot from that guy, man. God bless him, you know. But at the end, we kind of like got into a little dispute because, as you know, they came out with the Hoochie Mama record, right?
Yeah.
And Too Live for Him Back, but it was like a misunderstanding. I thought the group was getting back together, like to like go forward. But because one day I was in the studio, and they was like, "Yo, you heard that new Too Live record?" And I was like, "Nah, how you gonna make a Too Live record?" Keep in mind, it was still, I never knew that they got back to do that record. You follow? So I was like, no, I never heard that record. So it's like, bring that record up. And I heard that shit thunder on, that on, I was like, oh, shit. You feel me? So I was like, all right, tell Luke, fuck it. I'm going to do a solo album, you know? Because the company was, like, for years trying to get me, like, the people behind the scenes was like, you should do a solo. But I would never leave the dude who brought me in the game. You follow? That's just how I rock. So for many years,
you stay loyal to Chinaman.
I stayed loyal to him. I stayed loyal to Chinaman. You know, because from the moment we got in and we started doing shows, he would be like, "All right, look, I'm gonna go on stage first because nobody know you." You know, and I was frustrated because we was doing shows. Like we went out before, you know, back then. The material had to catch up with you. You went before the material caught up with you. So I used to go do these shows, and shit, nobody knew who the fuck I was. This PG, right? I mean, this.
No, you can say whatever the fuck, brother.
Oh, okay. Like nobody knew who the fuck I was. So I do my set, and then I just sit in the crowd in the arena and watch the rest of the show. So once, I think he was in Philly, and I tried to do that shit. That go first, you know. And I went on stage, and from that moment, he was like, "Yo, you go on stage first." You know what I'm saying? So people start recognizing me, and then you had people behind the scenes like, "Yo, I think you should do." And in my head, I'm like, "Yo, why?" And that's when I really kind of figured out how, you know, like the ills of the game and the record companies. You feel me? Like, how people think they're just monetizing. They don't really think about loyalty. You feel me? So,
yeah.
You know, I never shitted on a dude like that. But when they did the record, he explained to me many, many, many years later, like, nah, that wasn't what we was going to do. We was just doing that, and we was going to do this to get the bag. And then but how I got it, me being young, I felt like the group was coming back together and didn't nobody tell me shit. You feel me? So,
yeah.
I mean, it was and you know, then when I went solo, you know, he had his feelings and then I had my little feelings. But recently, man, before he passed away, man, we had like the best conversations. Like we used to talk every night and a lot of shit that we had. I mean, it never was no bullshit, like, I don't fuck. I mean, we would speak, but it was not like before because I jumped the gun, and he felt like because I jumped the gun, he had things, you know, he was like, look, I wanted to set you up like this and bring you in the game like that. And I was like, well, you dropped the record, and you went back with your crew, so I thought you, he was like, nah. I was like, well, shit, I didn't know. You feel me? So it's funny how you can have a misunderstanding and that shit can have you on different ways. You feel me? But at the end, before he passed away, man, we used to talk like every night. And we got that clear. I'm glad we had that. You know, we cleared the air and we got that out. You feel what I'm saying?
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Man, we used to talk every night, man, and he would tell me, you know, because he always was like, school me on the game and things to do and, you know, move in a room like this and, you know, don't hang around certain people. Like, you know, be about your mom, be about your money because, you know, your money is not like their money. And if you hang around these type of people, then they going to feel like you're a groupie. So he always had my best interest at hand as far as how to move, you know. So, I mean, I miss that dude, man. Like I said before, he got out of here. He told me how to move. Check this out. He told me how to move now, and he's not here. So he was like, yo, you need to do this. You need
to do this. He planted that seed in your mind to help you.
He planted that seed, man. He planted that seed. And, you know, it's funny because we would talk, but it's like, you know how you got something you want to say, but you didn't say it? And then I guess it takes time for shit to happen. So when it was a while before I really fucked with the social media and shit. So when I came on and started fucking with the social media shit, like, he reached out. And once he seen me working, I never forget one night, man, he seen me working. And he called me. And I was like, yo, what's up? And he was so fucking happy. Because he seen me working. He was like, yo. And I was like, yo, what's up? And he's like, yo. Because he seen I posted something. And he really didn't have nothing to say. He was like, you working? And I was like, man, why he so happy and why he really had nothing to say? You follow? So
genuinely excited to see you doing something, man. That's just the type of guy Chris
yeah,
was.
Yeah, man.
You know?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What you said? Yeah, man. I can feel the excitement. It's like, yo, he carrying the torch on. And believe it or not, we got so close. I'm going to put you up on game. We got so close, man. Once we had that little understanding about that disagreement, not the disagreement, about the misunderstanding, he was trying to get shit situated to where he could sit down and have a holler and look. And try to, because he had left the group again,
well,
you know? So he was trying to put the new Two Live crew back together. That's, unfortunately, you know, the untimely demise. But that was and his goal was to pitch that back to Luke to do another new Two Live crew album.
So it would have been Luke, you, and Chris then?
Yeah, it would have been that way because, unfortunately, that situation had went what he was. He was like, you know, it was a difference of opinion, a difference of creativity, and stuff like that. So he left. He left. He left that group again. He left the group again. Well, he never left. This was his first time, I guess, ever leaving the original group. You follow?
Yeah, because that was his baby, so to speak. I think now it's
he never
left. Some other guy.
Right. Well, you know, me, him, and Luke was like the villain of the group. You feel me? So, if you will. So, you know what I'm saying? He was like, man, I'm thinking about, you know, how would you feel to do another album? And I was like, well, shit, man, I'll do it. You got to make sure everybody got to be on the same page. I don't want to just do it in this climate and everybody not on the same page creatively and stuff like that. So it was a conversation, you know what I'm saying? So he was getting all the ducks lined up before he pitched it to Luke, you know, pretty much similar to how he did the first one. Like I said, it always forms with his ideas. And then once he put it together, he pitch it, you know? So
that the new Two Live crew, the one back at Jazz from 94, that was Chris's brainchild then.
That was his baby. That was his every song on there. Now, this is where I came in. The production was Slice was produced DJ Spin, who did It's Your Birthday. He did Scar. That was somebody that I knew that I met at a party. And me and him was real cool. And it was just that young blood because at that time, Mike Fresh was the main man over there. Mix had left, right? So Mix left. By the time I got there, Mike Fresh had left. So it really wasn't no in-house main producer. So we had some of Mike Fresh old stuff still in the can. We used some of that with the addition of what we did with Spin. Now, the two other producers that came through, Chris would be like, yo, what you think about these guys here? He would hear it and bring it to me. And if I greenlight it, they make the record. If me and him didn't greenlight it together, they wouldn't make the record. So I was like, oh, I know this guy. I went to school. I mean, he, you know, me and him was cool. You know, I used to go over his house and watch him scratch and cook up shit on SB-12. He's good. He was like, all right. Then we brought Slice over. He a dude from Philly. He did the Yes Indeed. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yes Indeed? No, no, I don't think so.
From
I probably gotta hear it.
But it's okay. So he did You Go Girl. He did You Go Girl. He did the Two Live Freestyles. He did the shit with Dolomite. He did a couple of
Dolomite was all over that. Yeah.
Yeah, he did some shit with Luke versus Dolomite. And then we had Mike Fresh had a couple of old joints that he left over. And then Professor Griff was hanging out in the studio. And he was just playing some shit on the SB-12. And I was like, what the fuck is that? He was like, you like it? I was like, yeah. He was like, shit, it's yours. You want it? And that was the intro. And he was like, man, I'm here to work for y'all. Check this out. So I was like, Chris, check this out. He's like, you like it? I'm like, yeah. So that's how we got the intro with Dumber Talk with Lil Wicked, because he had that little reggae feel shit going. And then the initiation, that was produced by Professor Griff as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing. I was always tripped out when Griff went over there, you know, after the Public Enemy thing. How did you said Chris discovered you, but did you have any music out in the streets at that time, or were you just like performing at like open mics and stuff like that?
No, Chris didn't discover me. I was back in the day, like way back. I was in a group called PG-13, and the same dude, Disco Rick, who was signed, he was in the Gucci crew. And
okay.
I was the best rapper in the group, right? And so then the dude who was supposed to put us out, he's like, yo, when I get back, we're going to make a record. He went to jail. He never came back. When he came back, I was grown, driving it, foreign and everything, right? So, so I'm at the crib. I'm getting, you know, I'm growing up. And I remember Disco Rick used to like me. He was like, yo, this guy going to be a star. He the best guy in the group. So he took a liking to me, and so after that, after dude went to jail, I didn't see Rick in a long time. He went solo, and he started blowing up, like fucking blowing up. So I'm sitting home, my rap shit ain't happening. I'm like, yo, I know this dude. So I called him up, and I was like, yo, Rick not here. So I kept calling. One day, he was like, yo, mama bar, come by my house. I went by his house. He was like, you still rap? He drops something on the beat I rap. He was like, all right, fuck it. I'm leaving this company, and I'm going to Luke Records. So I don't have a crew, so I want you to come with me. So I was like, all right. So I used to be the guy that just come on stage in the middle of his set and just freestyle about girls in the crowd or whatever. So that's how him and Chris was on tour, but Rick didn't actually sign to Luke until later. But that's how Chris got to see me. You feel me? So before he put the Two Live Crew together, he was watching me do this shit. I never knew he was watching me like turn these shows out. You follow? So when he went to put the Two Live Crew together, he was like, hey, what's up with that guy you used to have come on the stage and like do all this crazy? He was like, can I fuck with him? And the guy just gave him a blessing, and that's how, you know what I'm saying? Because actually, I was over at Luke Records, but as a side man to Disco Rick. You know? But I never was actually signed as an artist. You follow?
Yeah. It was a good thing that, you know what I'm saying, you went over there because, you know, that Back of the Ass for the 9-4, that was a dope record. We Want the Pussy Part 2 was on there. What's it like to revisit a song like that, a classic song that everybody around the world knows?
To be honest, I didn't want to fuck with that record, man, because this shit was so iconic. Listen, man, you got to understand. It's like the Southern N.W.A., you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, I don't want to fuck with this record, man. Like, why would you want to do... Okay, so when he was like, yeah, we're going to do Hey, We Want Some Pussy. I said, okay. He said, we're going to make it part two. I was like, okay. But when he brought the shit up and I heard the shit where they was in Germany, like, yo, like, this is like them actually performing. So I'm like, okay. But if you listen to the record, it kind of sounds similar to the original one, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, man, Chris, man, I don't think you should fuck with this record, man. I think you should leave this alone. He's like, nah, man. So it's crazy because right now, to this day, people still say that part, Verb, a.k.a. the Mouth Rape.
The Mouth Rape.
Like, yeah. And I did that shit. I'm like, how you know, you know, like they came. The way I came off, I was like, I don't know if people gonna understand what I was saying. Every time people see me to this day, they say that part. Yeah, about that record.
Did they call you the Mouth Raper?
That was my mantra for many, many years, dog. Many years, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just, like, trying to... Because, like, when I came in the group, I really didn't want, like, to be, like, I really didn't want to be, like, quote-unquote, like, in the 2-9-2. Like, I had my own style. And I was like, how would people perceive me, you know, in the game? I, like, wanted to come in. Do my own thing, but then it was like, yo, do this, and when you get situated, you can have your own situation. So, but it was easy for me to write that stuff because I was like living that shit. Like I was living, like I would just take shit that I would do, like and just put the shit in the record. You know, shout out to the girls I was messing with at the time. You know.
Thanks for the concept.
I was real active at that time, you know. And then, you know, I listened to so much of their material, I already knew, you know, I was just like, okay. And I used to hear a lot of people like, yo, because, you know, Mark was the lyricist of the group. He was the, you know, so it's just like, yo, man, like, yo. But I'm glad when I did what I did, I didn't hear that because I didn't try to be Mark. You know what I'm saying? I just did me. You
did
know?
Your own thing. And that's what made that record work. You know, if somebody would have came in and did try to do it like Mark, it would have been sound like they was imitating Mark. So, no, that record stands on its own, man. That's a classic in its own right. But I want to take a break real quick, Verb. I want to go to one of these dope tracks you sent me. This one here is called Coming Back, man. Why don't you intro this one for us, brother?
All right. Yo, check this out. Yo, this your boy Legendary Verb, and this record right here, he's coming back. This right here to let people put the game on notice and let them know this was up with Verb right now. Yeah.
Hell yeah. We'll be right back with Verb. Don't go nowhere.
I've been gone for a minute, now I'm back, you heard? Niggas sleeping, thought I fell up off the map, you heard? They like drop another album, bring us back, you heard? I was caught up in that fucked up contract, you heard me? Yeah, so I fell back, we can't be held back. Pull up on them with the red eye on the Hellcat. Out of towners come to coppin', so we sell crack. Thuggin' fast in the form of through the cell tap. Yeah, 60,000 on the Mueller. I
to my jeweler, gator beams and the rifles with his soul. To my shooters, what's up? Nothing but commentators and lower denominators. Look what the drama made us. Fuck all the naysayers. Yeah, put the cherry on the blunt. It's the VRB legendary in the front. What's up?
We're back with Verb, you know what I'm saying? That's a dope track right there, man. I'm really feeling that. You're going to do a
appreciate
video for that
it,
one?
Well, we just trying to see what they feeling right now, you know what I'm saying? We're just putting a couple of records out and, you know, just trying to see what they, you know, which groove they feeling, you know? So, you know, just putting records out and looking at the analytics. And letting the data tell us, you know, which ones they fucking with, you know. So,
oh yeah. Definitely.
But I mean, that record was just necessary, a little just less something, you know, to just let them know, you know. Set the record, you know, put a lot of old shit to bed, you know what I'm saying? For the people that follow me, of course, the young generation probably like, he's back. Where the fuck he come from? You know what I'm saying? But that was just for the purists, like, who, you know, whatever happened to this? You know what I'm saying? Just answer a few questions and, you know, just flex my pen a little bit. Just a little, keep it short and sweet, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely, man. You ain't skipped a beat. And it's good to see that you're back, man. When you touched down over there on Luke Records, you know what I'm saying? That was right at the time when... you know, Luke was going head-to-head with Death Row and Dre and everything, man. Did it die down by the time you got there? Or did it...
No,
you know,
that shit
was still pretty crazy.
That shit was in the forefront, man. But, you know, I wasn't, like... At that particular time, I wasn't, like, the big dog status. You know what I'm saying? I was just the young... Skipper, like, we was in the studio. We was just like, I don't even think we actually started recording records. We probably, and it's so funny, I think, at that time, we was like at least a couple of records in, if that, you know what I'm saying? Because I remember, matter of fact, I think I caught the tail end of that. Because they had already did an exchange of records. And then when I came, I think JT Money and Clay Vossier had did a record. So it kind of missed me, you know. They was like the big dogs in that fight, you know. So I kind of, but I seen the gangster shit. Like, we went to the fucking Freaknik, and I think Dre was on House Arrest, and everybody was like, Snoop was at something, and we went over there, and it was like 200-300 niggas, and they just fucked that party up, man. I mean,
was that Jack the Rapper or Freak?
That was, I don't remember if it was Jack the Rapper or Freaknik. I know it was in Atlanta. The Houston,
oh yeah, that must have been Jack the Rapper, because JT Money was telling us that was the last Jack the Rapper after that shit went down.
We fucked that, man, they fucked that shit up, man. And, you know, I'm just young. I'm walking through. I don't know what the fuck going on. So it's like everybody suiting up. I'm like, okay, I got on all this Luke shit. So we walking through. We think we just going the fuck around. Niggas start pulling out golf clubs, stabbing motherfuckers, turning tables over. Man, that shit got real, real quick. And you know, we had just signed this group called You Mind after we tore that shit up, you know. Yeah, just signed this group called You Mind, I think from Chicago. Shout out to them. And I don't think they know what happened. So you walking into that party after they did that shit and after they done got all their security and all their homies to that venue, right? And then they walk in there with all that loop shit. Yo, they got fucked up.
You mind got fucked up?
Yeah, I'm not laughing at them, but I'm just saying that could have been anybody, you know? But it's just unfortunate, you know?
So like, yeah. Suge and Luke, they probably wasn't even fighting or nothing. It was probably just Suge's people versus Luke's people.
Nah, it wasn't even. It was more so, it wasn't a Suge at that point. Niggas ain't really know who the fuck Suge was or really feel Suge as a powerhouse behind. It was more so like he was gunning for Dre. He was looking for Dre, you know. But Dre had slapped Miss D, I believe, at that time, so he couldn't make it. You follow me? So I don't believe nobody went, but I guess somebody was like, it was because they were supposed to be at this party. I remember it was fucking CNC Music Factory in there, some fucking big wigs, man. And it just turned that shit out, man. Luke turned that shit out, man. Like, we fucking running downstairs. He stabbed some motherfuckers up. Well, some people got stabbed, I don't know. And he had on a white shirt, I remember. So it was me, him, probably two people and one bodyguard. And we just walking down the street. And he got blood on his fucking shirt. And the girl's like, oh, that's Luke. Can I take a picture? And he's like, yeah, take a picture with me, you know? And so we didn't flip that shit over. We tried to get cabs or somebody to take us to get us the fuck out of that. Man, that shit was crazy, man.
Luke, you said Luke had blood on his shirt. He was stopping to take pictures.
He had blood. Like, okay, after this shit happened, it got chaotic, right? Everybody running everywhere. So I'm from the hood. I know. Stay with the money. You know what I'm saying? Stay with the money. Stay with the boss. Where the fuck he go? Is tables shit turning? I'm keeping my eye on Luke, because I left from the hotel with him.
Yeah.
You follow me? And so, wherever he start running to and turning and shit and doing whatever I'm doing, I'm right there. So, some kind of way this shit ended up like a movie. Now, you know, the police start coming in there. You know, the big dogs start coming in there, spraying pepper spray and shit. So, now, niggas is running. So we trying to get the fuck out of Dodge. We end up hitting like a stair escape and running down. And when we break off, we come down with like 200-300 motherfuckers. Now we done hit the shit. We on the street. It's like five deep. But keep in mind, we got a death row party, you know? So we ain't got the 200-300 niggas that we came there with. So now we actually walking on the street with Luke Rockett shit on. You know what I'm saying? That shit ain't cool. So, you know, we walking down the street and some girls recognize Luke and was like, Luke, hey, how you doing? Let me take a picture. And he stole, you okay? And I'm like, yo, that's fucked up. He got blood on his shirt. It wasn't like no, you know, horror movie. It was like speculative of blood, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he just went into a store and, like, bought another shirt and took that shit off and put another shirt on real quick. You know what I'm saying? Police guy was like, hey, yo, that's you? He's like, no, that guy went that way. Oh, okay. You know, that shit was just crazy, man. Flipped up his gear real quick and kept it moving. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So you guys, you're pretty vulnerable at the end there, because if they would have got a hold of you, it would have been over.
Yeah, we outside of the venue of day party, and we not deep like we was, and we was trying to make ourselves not to be a target, you know. We wasn't checking in, but we was just trying to make ourselves not to be a target. You know what I'm saying? We was walking the street. We was standing up. We weren't running. But you know what I'm saying? We was just trying. We did what they attempted to do. They was trying to go back to the home base, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, but like I say, that issue, whatever issue they had, that was before me. That beef was before me. I got that. It was already cooking. Like, it was already to the end. Like, after that, I think it was mutual respect on both ends. And the shit just died out. But that shit is legend. You know what I'm saying? You know, they got Cali, but Luke had the South. At that particular time, Luke had the South on lock. All the way in Atlanta. He had that shit on lock. Yeah.
I always thought it was crazy for Death Row to go down that way. You know, because that, like you said, that was his territory, the Southeast. You know, that would be like if y'all went to Compton or Long Beach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then looking at how it is now, we really would have been, because we ain't really know about this gangbanging shit and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We didn't know how organized that shit was at that point. But I'm gonna tell you, man, we just some street niggas that had heart, man. I mean, the shit really played out to the point to the shit of legends. Like, yo, this shit could go any kind of way. So I think it was just the respect of those dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, some real OG niggas that had love for both parties got in between that shit and talked to both niggas and resolved, you know?
Yeah, which is a fortunate thing, man, because we all saw what happened with Biggie and Pac a couple years later.
Absolutely.
You know, them guys, you know what I'm saying, pretty much were sacrificial lambs, so to speak. Yeah, man, glad y'all made it out of that okay in one piece, man. Then a couple years later, you know what I'm saying, the label goes under, you know, and from there, you eventually, you was on the track with Trick Daddy, Scarred.
Right.
What was it like, you know what I'm saying, at that time? Were you going to put out a solo project, or?
Well, I was going to put out a solo. This is what happened. Luke had a situation with Island. The Uncle Luke album, he signed himself as an artist. So when the company went under, Luke is still an artist. You follow? So he owned the record company, plus he was the artist on his own company. So when the company went under, he just put himself out there as an artist and then started a bidding war. So he signed with Island. And I think at that time, every group kind of flopped except Drew Hill. So the A&R had bought like a couple of groups, and every album really didn't live up to his expectation. Drew Hill was the best group from that batch. And I think that was the Uncle Luke was in that umbrella, right? And so Chris was gone. Joe Weinberger was gone. Brother Marquise was gone. And I just, you know, I just stayed down. And I was like, yo, man, I got this idea. Because even though we did the Two Live Crew album, we got something that's called a pack jam. It's next door to the company. And it's like Team Disco, and that's where they test a lot of records. And I was like, yo, why the fuck these DJs ain't really playing our shit in the Team Disco? So I was like, you know what? One day I want to make some shit that play, because you got some classic Miami songs that play ever, like 30 years, they still play on the DJ systems down here, right? So, for some reason, it was doing well commercially, but it wasn't resonating, like, in the hood and in that, you know. So I stepped in. I was able, when Chris was gone, I was able to, like, bring my ideas. So I was like, look, I want to do this record, XYZ, XYZ. And Luke was like, all right. But I kind of, to be honest, I kind of lost the love for it because it was a lot of shit going on at the time. And business was crazy. It really wasn't no real paper flowing like it used to be, you know. So all of a sudden one day I was like, man, I'm out. All of a sudden one day I get a call like 3-4 months later. Oh, Luke wants to do this record. So I get it to spin. I'm like, yo, hook the beat up like this. I don't want the shit going that fast. But he do it how he want to do it. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. So to be honest with you, man, just we wasn't seeing eye to eye creatively or as far as the business was going. So to be honest, I kind of just wrote that record like on the way to the studio, like real quick, like, you know, and went in there and did my two verses. And I thought the shit was going to be at that point like number 15 on the album. But it was like one of them songs that never went away and like my biggest song to date, you know. So that shit always come back to haunt me. And Trick, at this point, it was nobody on the record. It was just me. So I went in and did my two verses. Luke was going to do the intro and the hook. And the last verse, he was just going to ride out. So we had the introductory to Trick Daddy coming in. And then he put his thing to it. And then after he put his thing to it, then Luke laced it. And then now, you know, I get a call like, hey, you got to hear this record, man. I think this going to be the first single. And, you know, I was like, oh, shit. And so that's what you got. And that was the making of Scar right there.
Yeah, yep. That was the biggest record off that album. And that album, you know what I'm saying, it had, I think it had Biggie on it. It had Cube.
It had Biggie, Ice Cube. It had a lot of heavy hitters, man. You know what I'm saying?
Dougie Fresh, I think.
Dougie Fresh, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I told him, like, take this. I bought the sample. This part of the record you're going to take, and this what we're going to put on it, you know? That was all my vibe. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it did what it that was what I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to accomplish something that play 20, 30 years later on Miami systems and clubs and colleges and shit like that, a classic single. So that's what it is, you know? I'm proud to be a part of that. Yeah, time.
Oh yeah.
You know, but if I would have known that, it would have. See, you know, you catch artists in different positions, and you know, you might not get the best because of the situation. But it is what it is. That was the necessary. That's what needed to be. That was the art that was painted. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, oh yeah, and it launched the career of Trick Daddy, which he went on to do many big things himself.
Right.
You know.
And then he tried to, and as well, shout out to Trick Daddy, because once he went over to Slip and Slide, you know, me and Trick got real close, because I was moving how Chris told me to move, right? And one thing Chris told me, he said, I'm going to tell you something about Luke, man. I say, what's going on, big homie? He say, listen. He say, never hang out with this guy. He say, it's cool to bullshit around and be friendly, but never be hanging out with him and shooting the breeze. I say, why? He say, because one, your money ain't like his money. You see what I'm saying? So he never gonna respect you because your money ain't like his money. And then if you hang around him, what happens is you become a groupie. He say, then you start doing shit for free. He say, you see these guys around here, they infatuated with him. You understand? So you keep it business, then you always be about your business and you'll get your money. And I just move how the big homie told me to move. He been there 10, 20 years before me, so he know how to move. You know what I'm saying? So when I got there, I wasn't like the guy that's going to go hang out and, you know what I'm saying? I come in there, I do what I do, I be about my money. You know what I'm saying? So Trick was watching that. He was like, so when we went on the plane back to L.A. to do the video, in California to do the video, Scar for Scar, he was like, hey, man, dog, I watch you, man. They say you ain't a team player, man, but, you know, I watch you, dog. You seem like a cool nigga, man. So we start chopping it up. And then Trick became real cool. And before he went to Slip and Slide, I was like kind of like the big homie to him. like in a sense of, okay, as far as business, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, look, man. He was like, look, man, I'm about a dude. Because what was happening, I guess Luke had to get us in another console because he was trying to get a deal back on his label. And he didn't want to give Trick what he was asking. And I was like, he would come to me and I would say, look, man, I don't know how long, you know, because Chris called me and he say, look, ask Luke to give you some money, man. You see where this record at? I was still over there. I was still rocking. But Chris called me and he said, look, man, go get you some money, blah, blah, blah. So I went in. Yo, man, what's up with the money? And then that's the first time me and Luke got into it, you know? And so I told Trick, man, listen, man, you know, I don't know, hate shit, but I don't think this company going to be around too long, man. So he was like, well, look, man, I got this guy. You know, he used to work with my brother. You know, I said, dude, go do that. And that was the slip and slide thing. So when he got over there, you know, he asked me before he left over there, and I green-lighted that. You know what I'm saying? That's history. But I actually was supposed to go over there and sign the slip and slide because I was a free agent. You know? I gave him that record, Gone With Your Bad Self. That was supposed to go to LaFace Records because Tony Mercedes had got a situation at LaFace Records. And when we did the record, Ted liked the record so much, he asked me to let Trick keep it for his album. And I, you know, I let that happen. You know what I'm saying? Just to let my nigga get some shine. You feel me? But you know, that you know, like I say, I was just, you know, that's the type of guy Chris was, you know what I'm saying? Just anybody who he had involvement with or he felt like he didn't want to bring nobody in, he wanted you to move with a certain ethic, you know, have a certain work ethic and move in a certain, with a certain ethic about yourself, you know what I'm saying?
I noticed that about them, man. He always mentored his artists.
Yeah, have a certain amount of professionalism and a certain amount of shame to where, you know, you don't be problematic. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people felt, you know, some people might, you know, feel like if you isolate yourself like that, oh, you know, he don't. But it's just, you just stay out of people's way and keep it professional. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like, yo, I seen so many dudes fuck up by hanging out with this man and trying to be his, you know, dudes would have contracts, go kick it on the night with him, some shit go down, now they getting dropped from the label. You know what I'm saying? Keep this shit professional. This is a job. And I was like, all right, big homie, you know what I'm saying? Soaking up the game. So when he came to me on the plane, I was like, yo, the reason I act like that is because my big homie told me how to move. And the juice that he gave me, I gave Doug. And that's when we start having a mutual respect for each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Passing that on to others. Yeah, man. I commend you for that, man.
Absolutely.
You know, you saved dude from possibly going into a bad situation. You know, but we're here now, 2020. You know what I'm saying? You're getting ready to... you know what I'm saying, drop some music. You got this album coming out, and if so, when is it going to drop?
What we're doing right now, we're just putting a few singles out right now, you know, because it's been so long, I have to, you know, just try to, before we go and get an album mode, I mean, we got some material, enough, but I just want to see, get some, you know, get some data back to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, of course, it's a different day and it's a different, you know what I'm saying, era. So I just want to put out a few singles and get people re-familiar with my voice, you know what I'm saying, and let them, you know what I'm saying, ease my way back in, you know. I don't think it's just be wise to just drop an album right now when we, you know, do no legwork, you know what I'm saying. So that's just what we're doing right now, you know, just getting our feet wet with it.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. We got another song I'm going to go to as we get out of here. But before we do, you know what I'm saying, I want to thank you again for taking the time out to talk to us. And, man, when you do drop the project in the future, I definitely want you to come back on, you know what I'm saying, chop it up some more. But before we get out of here, brother, is there any shout outs, anything you want to say? Or the floor is all yours.
I want to give a shout out to my dog, man, Fresh Kid Ice. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, shout out to him for, you know what I'm saying, changing my life, you know what I'm saying, as far as his music. You know, I've been all around the world. I've been around the world 3 times. Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying, that dude had faith in me. You know what I'm saying? And I want to give a shout-out to the artist that he was working with, although I don't know him in particularly. You know what I'm saying? Monte Crisco, I think he's out of Detroit. Lil Fame, I don't know where he at, where he's out of. But
he's
I'm
down
just,
there in Florida with you, I think, somewhere.
Right. He's
not
out
Miami,
of Florida with
but
me.
Close.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to connect with the artist that he was working with, you know, before he passed, just to, you know what I'm saying, you know, do whatever I could do, give them the number so they can call and give them some information if they need them, you know, and then I can learn some information, what's going on, what's out there now, you know what I'm saying? And that's it, man. Just want to bring, you know, recognition to Chris, man, because, you know, he was real vital in making this movement down here in the South global, you know. A lot of people don't realize he was probably the first Asian rapper. Yeah, I think that's
in
history books, you know.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
This guy, I mean, it's so much history with this dude, man, and I really understand, you know, I had the opportunity, man, to do these things with, man. I listened to these records, man, and it seemed like yesterday, man, we was putting these records together, man, and you just don't know how fast this shit go. But unfortunately, man, and I want to say this, Too Like Crew should be on a level recognized almost. I mean, these guys was like probably before NWA, you know?
Oh,
and it's
just
fucked.
Yeah.
It's just 84. Fucked up the way they. Yeah. So I mean, what happened to the richness and the royaltiness of their culture and what they cultivated, man, for it not to be on par. I mean, you look at NWA, not saying we're not trying to compare, but these guys got more records, more albums, and even if they had a tenth of that, you know. And I just feel like, you know, it's just the recognition, man. It wasn't there, man. It's just unfortunate the group didn't stick together and be on the same page, man, to where they could take, you know, advantage of, you know what I'm saying, the abundance of hip-hop. Feel me? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. This guy passed away, man, bleeding this, man. He lost a lot for the music, you know? And I was telling him,
a lot of stress, man.
One of our last conversations, man, like, and people don't know, man, like, the business, man. This man died, I think he died from a broken heart, man, because he was just aggravated of how the business was going. He was very frustrated of how the business was going. And I was like, yo, Chris, you know, man, if the music ain't rocking, man, you might need to, you know, do something else. Like, you know, maybe... You might have to, you know, like, get a job or, you know, do something. He was like, yo, this is what I do. This all I know how to do. So the way he explained that to me, I was like, yo, this man can live and die music.
Yeah.
That's it.
He just wanted to be heard, man. He just wanted, and he wanted his people, you know what I'm saying, to be heard. And let me ask you this, though. You know, would you ever think about doing something, you know, with Mark and maybe if Mix, you know what I'm saying, gets away from over there, wherever he's at? Would you ever do something, maybe, you know, come together, Honor Chris, do a project?
At this point, I'm really focusing on me, you know what I'm saying, as a solo artist. But I will say this, man. Like Mark, me and him, man, we did a record together, and it came out on a compilation. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like us coming together and like us picking a producer and, you know, doing it organically. It was kind of like manufactured, But it's a dope record. I'm so happy with how it came out. But me and Mark, we talked about doing some records, but it'll have to be, he's not over there no more. So, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we could definitely get that out, man. And I also have wanted to see how it would have sounded if I would have went did some records with Mark as well. You know what I'm saying? So, but with Mix, I think he's still over there under that umbrella. So I don't know how that would come out, you know?
Yeah. Mix is over there doing something, I think, with some other dudes. I think you and Mark, man, that you guys would make some dope stuff together, because his bars are endless as well. You know what I'm saying? Both of y'all got it, you know.
Right.
And it's kind of like a situation, man. Well, you know, Chris is gone, man. While everybody else is still here, and come together and maybe do something. That would be dope. I know Poison Clan, they're getting ready to they're putting an album together right now. 25
really?
Years in the making. Yeah, JT Money posted something yesterday looking for producers. Maybe you ought to hook
that's
up
dope.
With Jay and you'll get on that album, man, as a feature or something. That'd be dope to tell.
Most definite, man. I'm gonna reach out to Jeff, man. But like I said, man, even when Chris passed, man, I reached out to the company, man, and I was like, yo, you know, if y'all need something, man, you know, for the group, you know what I'm saying, just let me know. But I never heard nothing, so, you know, just, like I say, it's the politics of the game, man. It's the politics of the game.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'll tell you what, brother, I'm glad you're back. Man, keep doing your thing, you know what I'm saying? And, the fans want you, man. Once you let them know that you're back, I know they're going to want to hear what you got coming. So keep doing your thing, and thanks again for coming on the show. But before we get out of here, we got this we got another track, man. This one's called Long Gone. Man, can you kind of intro this one for us on our way out?
You want me to intro it, like tell you the thought pattern behind it, or just let you
break it down a little bit? You know what I'm saying? Describe
okay,
it for
see
us.
That? Okay, see, Long Gone, it's like it's a situation where this guy, he already have game, right? And he meet this girl. You know, she may want to use him for his energy. You follow me? But he up on game already, you know? So it's just a game of wits of who going to beat that struggle. You feel me? And so that's what you hear, you know? You hear that in motion right there, you know? You know, she's coming on like she's in love with him. But she really not in love with him. She just trying to get him for his energy. And he's coming with it like he's in love with her. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like a little tug of war. And so, you know, that Fire and Desire from Tina Marie and Rick James, that exchange was, you know, you used to be cold as ice long ago. That's the sample that I used in that. So it's like I felt like that was fitting, but you know, to go from that situation of two people who, you know, was cold. So, you know, I was just basically put it together from that perspective right there, you know, and let it play out. And at the end, you know, she's long gone, you know. So that's the outcome.
And well, that's what I'm talking about, man. We're going to give that to the people right now. And, man, hopefully we get to chop it up with you again in the future. You know what I'm saying? Thanks again for coming on the show, Verb. Huge honor to interview you. And, man, we look forward to much more music in the future, man. You be easy, brother.
No doubt, man. I appreciate the love, my G. Yo.
What's good? It's been a minute since we last met. We all make mistakes and we all have regrets. But you was the realest bitch on the team. No cap. I just had to let you know.
She came to me when she broke up with her boyfriend. Tell that nigga that it's over, come fuck with a soldier. Made her fall in love, that was the boy plan. She needed something to crown, I gave her my shoulder. Blowing money fast, Valentino loafers. Brand new Birkin bag, comping out them Rovers.
started getting close, now we getting closer. Having brunch on the beach, sipping mimosas. Every time we kiss, you can feel the passion. Wet kisses on the neck, yeah, it's everlasting. I'm the one to call when it's late at night. She like the way I talk to her when I lay the pipe. On the knees, she be going dumb. Let me choke her when I fuck her, let her breathe when she about to come. That's the minimum, pussy sweet like cinnamon. Left her shaking in the bed with her legs trembling. Why you treat me like that? Tears on the pillow begging me to come back. Neck full of diamonds but my watch rose gold. Fuck her with a passion but my heart so cold. She screaming it's mine on it. Kissing and grind on it. Two niggas coming with eight when I'm putting a nine on it. Recorded on my phone, you should see how she climb on it. Playing back for my niggas and press the rewind on it. Ain't no sympathy. She blowing her heart out but we not meant to be. Flexing like a drug dealer, sell a whole zip the key. She think I'm in love with her but I'm a pimp like C. And when we fuck, yeah, we be getting high, right? It's so good, you be reaching for the sky, right? End of the night, you don't wanna say goodbye, right? Solo I love her, but we know that's a lie, right?
I'm just doing what the players do, and I ain't really meant to hurt you, boo.